Good morning and greetings from Upper Michigan. It is a privilege and a blessing to gather together with you here at 4th Avenue this morning. I too did not know that I was going to be standing here before you this morning until I was asked, and so I am happy to share the Word of God with you. I have been impressed this year. Our Sunday school quarterlies went through the book of Isaiah, and I have just got a real appreciation for the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. How many of you have read the book of Isaiah this year? Okay, very good. I think that it would be a good idea for us to read the book of Isaiah in the month of December to kind of prep us for thinking about Christmas. And I too don't make a big deal about when you think Christmas is. I had a man one time argue with me, and he said, "I want you to understand that we do not celebrate Christmas." Okay, I'm fine with that. When do you celebrate the coming of God's Son incarnate into this earth to be our Savior? When do you celebrate it if you don't celebrate Christmas? As long as you celebrate it at some point in time, because, well, he was real quick to tell me, well, we don't celebrate Easter either. I don't think you can properly celebrate one without the other. And so as we think of Isaiah this morning, an Old Testament writer, generally regarded as one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. If you are a person of great literary intellect, which I do not claim to be, the people that look at this say that this is quite a work of literary art. The way that he is presenting his thoughts, the way he presents himself, and whether you agree with that or not is immaterial, but I want you to think about something that is a recurring theme in the book of Isaiah, and that is the word salvation. And if you looked at it, you'd understand soon that this is the key word in the book. Isaiah is referred to as the Messianic prophet. The Messianic prophet, he has given us the most perfect picture of the history, the mission, the titles, and even the characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ before it happened. And so I want to want you also to think about Isaiah being called to be a prophet to Israel. And I want you to think about the nature of his call when he was when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. High and lifted up. What did he see? He saw the seraphims around that were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And he gives us this vivid picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. As we look at the book of Isaiah today, I want to just again help you understand what the common theology was for Isaiah's time. He was one of God's chosen people. This was a prestigious position, wasn't it? To be born a Jew. Now, what did he have to do with being born a Jew? Nothing. Nothing. You had to just have Jewish parents, and then you were a Jew. So when you think about Isaiah and the things that he writes about, as he was writing, and he was writing about a virgin having a baby, do you ever stop and think about what must Isaiah have felt like? You ever get to, if you were writing something and all of a sudden you may scratch your head and say, "Well, what is that?" But I will tell you that the Bible is very clear. It tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost is inspiring him to write about something so almost preposterous as a virgin birth. He may have looked at that and said, impossible, impossible. But he wrote about that. Think about how impossible it was for him to write about a Messiah that's coming, that's going to open the door to the Gentiles. Now, we understand from the story of Scripture, given we already talked, somebody mentioned the Peter and Cornelius. Remember how Peter was so drilled, how he was so drilled, nothing common or unclean. Those are unclean people, God. Why would I go over to the Gentiles? And then when Isaiah is writing, and he's writing about this, do you think that there were people that read Isaiah that felt like he missed the mark? That somehow he was, I like most of what Isaiah says, but he's really out in left field some days. Well, I'm here to tell you on that point, I'm thankful. I'm very grateful that he was out in left field, that he talked about the time of the Gentiles coming in, because that included me. So I want to just lead you through a brief look in Isaiah. So we're going to flip back and forth a lot of references today. I want you to think about the things that Isaiah is writing, but under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of one of the Trinity, about one of the Trinity that's going to come to this world and perform a very special part in proclaiming salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As we think of, let's start with the advent of Jesus coming. One of the songs that we sang this morning had the word Advent in it. What does Advent mean? Does anybody know what? We talk about the Advent. What does that mean? What does the word mean? Somebody?
Celebration of the birth.
Okay, a celebration of the birth. And the Advent is something that's going to happen that is about to come. We might talk about this week we just had the first day of winter, right? We are looking forward. I'm looking forward to the advent of spring. That's not that. That's the next one. And so, spring will come. Spring will come. Are you sure that spring will come? You're sure that spring will come? Put your hand up. You're sure? How are you sure that spring will come? The Bible has promised that it will. That as long as the earth stands, the seasons are going to change. And so I'm glad that you believe in that, because that gives us some common ground. The Lord could come first and we might not see spring. Would that be all right? Amen. Amen. That would be fine. But as we think of the Advent, it is a time that was coming. And I preached a message at home a little while ago about the fullness of time. In Galatians, it talks about, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. And when we think about the fullness of time, think of all the things that had to line up in order to have the story exactly happen as it was portrayed in Isaiah. Think of the need of Zechariah and Elizabeth unable to have a baby, and then all of a sudden there's a baby coming to Zacharias and Elizabeth. At the fullness of time, the angel comes to Mary. Was God late for Zacharias and Elizabeth? Was he late for them? Did they feel like he was late? Did they feel like God may have forgot them? You know, they may feel that he was late. I think of another person that felt like Jesus was late. When Lazarus died, one of the sisters, was it Martha, that said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You were late. But Jesus was 4 days late, but she got what she was after anyway, right? And so was Jesus late? So you see, in our time, in our minds, we might feel frustrated like Zacharias and Elizabeth, and we might think that nothing is happening, that we've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing is happening. And then in God's time, in the fullness of time, in the grand picture of God's timing, everything comes together. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to have to go fast because this message takes a little bit. Isaiah 40, and we're going to start at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want you to realize why Jesus came, looking at what we're going to read in Isaiah, and we're going to see the fulfillment of it. But I want you to understand that the word of our God shall stand forever. And when our God says, and when our Savior that came to this earth says, I go to prepare a place for you and I will come again, you can rest on it. Even though my grandpa, he thought that it would surely come in his day, and my grandpa's been buried for years. Even though it doesn't happen in our time, you can be sure that it is going to happen. And we need to tell people that this is going to happen. It may not happen in our day. There may not be anybody here that's alive today, from the littlest, youngest, newest baby here. It may not happen in their lifetime, but it is going to happen. All right, in the New Testament, go with me to Matthew chapter 3. We'll see the fulfillment of this prophecy, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet, I'm going to say Isaiah when it says Isaiah. I'm going to just say Isaiah so that we understand it. By the prophet Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and his leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was steak and potatoes. Is that what your Bible says? What did John the Baptist eat, children? What did John the Baptist eat?
What did he eat?
Yeah, what did he eat? What does the Bible say? Locusts and wild honey. Now, how many of you would be all excited about it if I told you that as soon as we get done with this service, we're all going to go down in the basement, we have dinner cooked, and it's locusts and wild honey? Are you going to hurry to the basement, or are you going to hurry home? But this is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You see, this was a man that his message stood out way above him. How much do you see of a voice? Nothing. You hear the voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. He wasn't out there dressed in some fancy clothes. He wasn't out there commanding a whole group of men. He was just out there with God's message. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Let's go also to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now go with me to Luke chapter 3. Is this happening just as Isaiah had said? Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the regions of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? His message was a powerful message. And we'll notice that there was different groups of people that came, and they recognized that this man has good words. He has good wisdom. He is good in counsel. Let's ask him what to do. What shall we do? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Now, he's talking about sharing meat. Do you want him to share his meal with you? Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. This messenger is going to come to bring the people's minds into the fact that there is someone coming. There is someone coming. They thought that he was it. They thought that maybe he was the Messiah. Somehow he's going to be their deliverer. Somehow he's going to fit into their mold that they had pressed upon them ever since they were little. They were told that there's going to be a Messiah that's going to come. He's going to set us free. You know, we only have to struggle under this Roman rule for a little bit more, and then there's a Messiah coming that's going to set us free from the Romans. Right, let's go to Isaiah for another peek. Isaiah chapter 7. And we're just going to pull one verse out here. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Again, I want you to just ponder with me how Isaiah must have, is this really what I'm to write? Is this really what I'm to share? I don't understand it, but here it is. And he writes it down as it says. This is going to be a virgin that is going to conceive. Folks, did this happen? Do you believe it? Go with me to Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew, we won't start at verse 18 and read the whole thing. We will start at verse 21. He was told that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph may have stumbled at that too. What? My Mary? Conceived? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. We're going to see different times in the book of Matthew that this is brought out. Matthew is writing primarily to who? Primarily to the Jewish people. He was writing to the Jewish people, and he wanted to prove without a shadow of a doubt that this is Christ. This is Jesus. This is the one that the prophets talked about. And he wants people, his readers, to understand that those Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled right here in front of our own eyes. It has one recurring theme throughout the book of Matthew. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophets, saying. That is repeated 16 times, and there are 93 Old Testament quotations in the book of Matthew. Do you, brothers and sisters, do you think that Matthew read Isaiah? I know he did. I know that Matthew read Isaiah because he goes back and time and again he says, this is what was written by Isaiah the prophet. We're going to see that. We're going to see it some more. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. This one here may take us a little bit to understand this one, but it's not quite as plain. Isaiah chapter 9, it tells us that Galilee is going to be the area of his ministry. Isaiah 9 in verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now, in the Revised Version, it says that, But there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time hath he made it glorious by the way of the sea. The land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations, is where the light is going to shine from. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 14. Matthew 4, 14. We'll start at verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, go back with me to Isaiah chapter 9 again. In verse 6. Isaiah 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. What is God's zeal today? A people for his glory. A people for his glory. It's his zeal, his desire is that you be telling this wonderful story. Be telling the story of the glad tidings that the angels brought. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, salvation. Talk to them about Isaiah. Talk to people about what Jesus has done. Now, in our Bibles, it has Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I would like to suggest that in the translation, the translators may have put that comma after wonderful. I like to think of it as Wonderful Counselor. A Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The other phrases are plural descriptive. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, however you want to fit it, it means something. It just meant something to me to think about when I saw that in a commentary note some time ago. A Wonderful Counselor. A Wonderful Counselor is Jesus my Lord. The song says, a Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. This verse talks about his deity. It talks about his everlasting rule. Now go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We have the angel coming to Mary. Luke 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name, what? Jesus. Shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and she shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah said, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Do you think that the angel read Isaiah? No, but I don't think that the angel read Isaiah, but I think that the word from God was the same to the angel as it was to Isaiah. And we see the angel sharing these exact same tones of the deity, the everlasting rule of his kingdom. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, can you imagine what that felt like for Mary to have to go tell Joseph what happened to her? to tell Joseph, will he listen? Will he believe me? And there is something that is there in the story that I think that validates the story for both of them. Can you imagine what happened when Mary said, Joseph, they said that this baby is to be named Jesus. And Joseph goes, that's the same thing that they told me. And it's like, yes, it must be of God because I got the same message that you got. His deity and his everlasting rule. Go with me to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. We're going to read beginning at verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the, what? Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, neither cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. John the Baptist told the people that he is going to cleanse the chaff and burn it with unquenchable fire. You saw judgment coming out there. Here you see Isaiah's writing, and he's going to have set judgment in the earth. The isles shall wait for his law. Go to verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And that is validating Isaiah's writing. That is Isaiah, when God gave that verse to Isaiah, behold, the former things are come to pass. The former things before this that God said are going to happen in Isaiah's day had happened. Now, new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Folks, read Isaiah. This is interesting, and I just was so blessed as I read into the book of Isaiah and saw how many times must have Isaiah just wondered. And you know, the Bible talks about those Old Testament prophets. They would have loved to have looked into the mystery of what that was coming. There was something big coming, and they had looked for it. Paul, I think, refers to it that they had desired to look into this mystery, and now these things are open to us. We see them fulfilled in our day. Paul, Peter, they were excited because this opening of the door of the Gentiles, this was something that Isaiah had talked about. Now this prophecy is happening right before their eyes. Folks, if you are attent to what's going on in the world today, there is prophecies of Isaiah and the Bible that are happening right in front of our eyes, and it should be a thrill and an excitement to us that we are getting close. All right, it says that this is him in whom my soul delighteth. Go with me to the fact that we're going to see that he is God's beloved son, Matthew 3. We know the story. When Jesus was baptized, as he came up out of the water, Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Turn with me to chapter 12, Matthew 12, verse 14. Jesus had just healed a man on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were having a fit. Matthew 12, 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. This, folks, is the church leaders trying to destroy the Savior of the world. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench." Did you hear that already once this morning? Who said it? John the Baptist. "Till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Why did Jesus come? To open up a way of salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Brothers and sisters, it is open for everybody. There is nobody that can't be under the salvation of Jesus Christ if they will. It is open for all. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 32. There was this old man that went to church. Is it a good idea for old men to go to church? That's why I'm glad that I can be here this morning. This man, Simeon, was there. And we want to look at Luke 2 and verse... let's start at verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Folks, I firmly believe that Simeon knew Isaiah well. He knew Isaiah well because he quotes Isaiah. It sounds almost the same as what we read in Isaiah, right from Simeon. Did these people, Simeon and others that we've talked about, that knew Matthew, that knew Isaiah? And it's like, yes, the light comes on. That's the scripture that's fulfilled. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we have Paul and Barnabas in verse 44. "The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.'" Is that what Isaiah said? You think that Paul knew what Isaiah said? Go with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul is giving his account before Agrippa. And we're going to start at verse 13. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of these things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wherefore, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Why did Jesus come? Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. Sometime if you read this, you just take the and put the word my in there instead of our, so that it's all resting on me. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The word righteous there, that is the ground on which he justifies others. It is his righteousness. He was perfect, and he bore our iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. You know, folks, for a long time, when I read Isaiah chapter 6, I figured that when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, that was referring to God the Father. I really think that was referring to God the Son, that Isaiah saw Jesus high, lifted up, because here it says, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. We could think of the rejection, and even Jesus helped his disciples understand the rejection that he was facing. We could talk about the fact that he bore the punishment for our sins and look at 1 Peter 2. We could look in the fact that Jesus was quiet in bearing reproach. We notice that it says that he was sacrificed for us, and that is bringing to us salvation. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Folks, I hope that I just kind of interested you in looking at Isaiah and maybe reading Isaiah next year prior to Christmas time, and just understanding all the things that Isaiah wrote that God showed through his prophet and how it all came to pass in the fullness of time. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to again look into your word. And we are so blessed to be able to be on this side, to see all these prophecies that were fulfilled, all these prophecies that came to pass just as you said. We thank you for the faithfulness of Isaiah. Some of these things must have seemed to him hard to write, hard to understand. But we thank you that we can see others in the New Testament times that were so blessed and so excited by what Isaiah said that they shared it, they stood on it, they rested on it, and they believed your report that you have given. I pray, Lord, that each of us would recognize the importance of believing the report that you have given, the report that says that we will be judged individually for what we do with your word and your demands on our lives. That we believe that you have a plan for this world. This world looks like it's really getting to be upside down. And Lord, as we stand at the end of the year and we are saddened by the things that have happened in our country in turning away from you again this year as they have, we pray, Lord, that we would be able to trust firmly in your hand and know that you have a purpose and you have a plan, and we are living in the day when you are bringing forth more of these prophecies that have been shared and given. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to be cemented in it, that we would recognize that your word is sure, that your word will come to pass, and we can stand on it. We look for that in the coming year. We come into the coming year unsure of what the year holds for us, your people, but we want to hold fast to your hand and to your word as you have given it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.